Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host Chris here, and I got the Star Trek Discovery crew here. We are so fucking far behind. I think the final episode of Star Trek Discovery in season 2 came in, what was it, April 18th? So it's what, like 3 weeks?
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, but to be fair, between then and now, we've had Game of Thrones return, we've had Endgame, we've had a lot of stuff going on. So it is not entirely our fault that the universe conspired to give us a bunch of good shit all at the same time that we had to deal with.
I'm not gonna lie. April kind of kicked my ass, so there's a lot of stuff going on. So we're doing episodes 12, 13, and 14, so that's Through the Valley of the Shadows, Such Sweet Sorrow, Part 1 and Part 2. And let me just say this, because, like I said, I was so fucking far behind. I did not watch either one of these. I didn't watch any of these episodes until maybe starting this week, I think.
It's perfectly understandable.
I had every intention on rewatching, but I just started a new job that I have to drive an hour to and from work now. So, you know, that's just not been possible. So I'm going to go completely on my non-drunk memory right now.
Well, that's the funny thing.
Well, I have to pee because I didn't want it to end. And so I didn't watch until this morning. Oh. And right before we started recording. So it is fresh. Giorgio Snark at killing a bunch of people by creating a supernova is my aesthetic.
Oh my god, I was drinking a little bit of wine, and I literally spit everything out when she said that, and I was like,
she said, oh my god,
you just said genocide was a good idea.
Well, to be fair, they did say there were no bad ideas, and so she had an idea. I mean,
said that was a lie. I don't know if it was Tilly or the Admiral, it was like, no, that was a lie.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there are definitely, I think it was everybody in the room basically was like, no, there's definitely some bad ideas. But no, what I was going to say, so I was watching this, so I realized that one, let me just say, because, you know, when we first started doing, I only have the TBS All Access app and this account for Star Trek, first of all. And so I know when we started, you know, the app was giving all kinds of problems. Let me say, you know, they've definitely done some improvements on the app, so I'll give them credit for that. So much, and that you can also download the episodes to watch, you know, if you're offline. So the last three episodes were so action-packed and so, like, high tempo, I was able to actually watch them while I was, like, running on the treadmill in the gym. It actually worked. Like, it's actually pretty fucking good. It was actually pretty good fucking motivation. Like, I'm going into, like, the end of episode 13 going, like, you goddamn right. Let's go, motherfucker. Like, I really do love this show. Like,
it has you pumped.
Yo.
It really has you pumped.
I mean, real talk. This show was fantastic. I mean, I know we'll talk about some. We have some articles later at the very end, but you know, I think there's what is the article about it being like the number one streaming show ever right now, and
goddamn right it is.
I mean, rightfully so. I mean, when you get to the end, like the episode 14 with Such Sweet Sorrow Part 2, it has probably one of the most epic like space battles. I haven't seen anything like that since Battlestar Galactica. It's like, and they didn't have the technology they had with this. Like, it is an epic battle. Like, I'm watching these last three episodes, and there's just so much good stuff. And we're gonna get into all this stuff, but what was
and
catching
the battle
me
was so detailed.
Yeah,
like, all I know is when my son, who can't rock with Star Trek, looks up and sees me watching, he was like, "Oh, they need to make this into a game. You done did something right."
Well, they are. Yeah, well,
and
the thing to me is, like, well, it's not just that. Like, to me, Star Trek Discovery is the culmination of all these years of Star Trek and them finally being like, okay, we now have the technology to do everything we want to do, right? We have the technology to do that. So you get the look of it and the feel of it, but beyond, it wasn't even that. Like, that was the icing on the cake for me. For me, the episodes 12 and 13 are so good to me because of everything else. It's the diversity of the cast. It's the inclusion. It's the fact that we saw this in season one, like making the bridge crew matter. Like all these things, and you're watching those two episodes, you're going like, this is what they've always been trying to do. They've always wanted to be able to do this, but due to, you know, it not being the right time, or, you know, creative differences or whatever that caused the issues, you just couldn't pull it off. But Star Trek Discovery they're able to do it. Like, everything that they hinted at or they try to do, because, again, Star Trek has always been on the breaking edge of that kind, these kind of things in TV. And this show does it. Like, you have characters and their sexuality and their ethnicity just, it's just there. Like, them just dropping the fact that, what was it? What's her name?
Reno.
That Reno had a wife. Like, it's just it's casual conversation that goes in there. Like, it's not forced. It's natural. It's what we've always wanted. And they do it without, feels like, without second thought. And I don't know, like, these last three episodes, it just was such a good cap. And I'm actually now sad that I have to wait for the show to come back.
Yo, Chris, I really want to tackle into what you said, because so there's this argument now here and there about Discovery not being utopian enough. And I think that there's some confusion about what that means. That does not mean that there aren't going to be conflicts. That does not mean that there isn't going to be an undercurrent of fuckery going on, because that's how stories are told. But the mere fact that, as you said, we got a Star Trek story where there was so much representation just naturally, that is Gene Roddenberry's vision.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's like, again, to me, it's, this is the culmination of all that stuff, you know, and I'm really, it's truly amazing to see when you really sit down and you watch it and you see how they've done this, and, you know, it feels natural, you know.
Yeah.
And
you know what was funny? I was thinking about this because we kind of touched on it last season, but even more so this season. And I was like, see what happens if you're patient and you stick with the show instead of writing bullshit think pieces like, well, this doesn't fit in the continuity. They haven't explained why we haven't heard of Discovery before now. And maybe if you had just been calm and followed the fucking story, you could have gotten your answer in episode 14 is all I'm saying.
I mean,
yeah, episode 14 wrapped it all up in a bow in a nice manner that also propels the storylines further into season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel forced at all. It was very natural. And not only that, but this show, for the last three episodes, had so many homages to previous Star Trek shows and movies.
Pike in the
chair. This is the most Trekkiest show there is.
Pike in the chair.
You know what's funny to me? It's so funny because I remember talking about season one, and I remember it felt like sometimes that we love the show, but like real hardcore Trekkies didn't like the show, whatever, and they were against it and all this other bullshit, right? And here we are sitting in this season two, and this might be the most Trekkie show of all Star Treks. Mm-hmm. Like, it cut out all the fat. Like, I love Deep Space Nine. Love it. Deep Space Nine was my all-time favorite. Right, I say was because even that show had fat that could be trimmed from it. Like, Star Trek Discovery has no fat. Like, there's nothing there. It's very lean. What is it? 14 episodes. How many episodes was last season?
16.
You get 60. You get 20 episodes. They did in two seasons what it took 7 for other shows to pull off. And it's everything mattered. And then, like, the way they even end this season, you're just like, so, you guys got approved for season 3. So, you just not even... Y'all gonna do us like that? All right, cool. All right. All right, we'll be back, but I'm just saying, we see you. And that's the amazing thing to me. It's like, it's so Star Trek. It's so Star Trek. And like you said, like, you know, when we get to 14, I'm like, I think I see how they're gonna wrap all this up and answer all those questions people had about the ship, about Discovery being too advanced and all this other stuff. And they even answered things I didn't think of. Like, you know, I forgot about, like, you know, the reason why, like, you basically get Burnham telling Spock, go find somebody like her. Go find someone that's the complete opposite of who you are and let them guide you. Which explains why you get some this friendship between Spock and Kirk without ever having Kirk there, without ever having to mention them at all.
Not you just know? Kirk, but also McCoy.
Exactly.
It's Trinity.
Yeah.
Because it's Trinity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? It's and they do it without ever mentioning those characters. Without ever having to do that. Without ever having to lean too heavily on that, they forged their own path and gave us things that we didn't think we needed. You know? And how can you not like this show? How can you not love this show? If you are a fan of Star Trek, if you watch all those other Star Treks, how do you watch Star Trek Discovery and not be excited and not be happy and not be pleased with what you see?
So what I was going to open this up with, like, I thought we were going to go round robin to start, was exactly going to be my point. Like, in the past 12 months, I've gotten the perfect season of Doctor Who. The perfect Spider-Man movie. The perfect comic book movie. You can flip-flop between End of the Spider-Verse and Endgame being the perfect comic book movie. I'll take that argument. That's a valid argument.
Why not both?
Right. And now we have the perfect Star Trek season. Like, I said this on Twitter. You have to have no soul to not be happy in this era.
Agreed.
What a time to be alive.
You know what's funny?
We're also getting more Star Trek in so many different medium formats. I mean, they're going to make video games. They're going to make cartoons. They're going to make more live action shows. And they're all going to be very different, yet very Star Trek. Yeah. So there's like a flavor for every type of person. Like if you're, I guess, a Picard fan or something, you know, there's going to be a show for you. If you have kids and you want to be involved in Star Trek, there's going to be a cartoon on Nickelodeon for your kid to watch and they can get involved and like Star Trek.
Like, there's two things about this. Like, one is that, I'll admit when I'm wrong. I didn't think CBS had it in them. Because nothing that CBS has ever done. I mean, I remember Supergirl. Like, I remember we were talking to David Harbour and he was basically like, yeah, man, they didn't even want her to fly in the first season. Like, CBS is that dumb, you know? You're going to do Supergirl and not have Supergirl fly, right? So when they said they're going to do Star Trek, I was like, okay, sure. You guys are bringing Star Trek back? You're going to try to do... You ain't going to pull that off, right? So shout out to them for me being wrong and them pulling this off and doing a good...
Management change up in CBS is the reason why we're getting all this
I think it's part of that, and I think it's also streaming. I don't think if this was on TV that it would have the same impact. I think by making
it wouldn't take the chances that they've taken, like the inclusion that we're seeing, not just in terms of visible, but invisible inclusion. We wouldn't get that.
They made it the flagship of their, like, this is the flagship Star Trek. Let's be honest here. Star Trek is the flagship of CBS All Access. That is if Star Trek did not turn out to be good and work, CBS All Access, I don't know.
Would not exist.
And I'll take this step further. I know we clowned, you know, CBS All Access really having a plan that consists of two shows, but they gave us Discovery, and Twilight Zone is coming for your next.
Yeah, it's working. Like I am not one of those people that will never admit. When I'm wrong. Like, I didn't think they could pull it off, and they did. Now, granted, I'm still going to cancel my subscription until Star Trek comes back, and when Twilight Zone is over, I'm canceling until it comes back. But they'll get me back.
Twilight Zone over.
I don't know. They're doing them.
They have 13 episodes.
Yeah, so they're trying. They're doing a good job of trying to stretch that out. So it's like, no, but you got me. You got me for that time. You'll get me there. I'll cancel, but I'll come back. You know, like, it's okay. If somebody cancels, if you know they're going to come back, right? So if I cancel for 3 months and I come back, you're still getting me for 9 months. You're good. And you're going to be happy with that.
What they'll do is what they did for me. I canceled it. So I actually canceled the CBS and did it through Amazon. So they did actually keep me. But as far as their retention, whatever department is working on that, they figured that I was a loss. And so they started sending me emails with steep discounts.
Right.
Because they know that they have me.
Yeah.
They just, they want to keep me all year round.
Right. So,
but I mean, they know I'm coming back for Star Trek.
Yeah, you got me. It's good. You don't. Hey, look, you ain't got to beg. I'll be back. I'll cancel. I'll be back. You got me. It's good. Just make sure that Star Trek, make that Star Trek, any of that Star Trek, come back. And I'm here. You got me. You've proven that you can do this. And I'm here for it. The other thing too is this, that I don't know. To me, sci-fi has always kind of been in the forefront of being diverse and inclusive, and especially Star Trek. And to me, like, I've seen a lot of, like, I watched the first episode of Game of Thrones coming back this season, and I'm not trying to get into Game of Thrones discussion, did not want to care. But I'm just like, I stopped watching. Well, no, I watched that first episode, and I don't care about spoilers, so I know what's been happening. But I watched the first episode of the season, and I'm fine. I like Game of Thrones, and nothing I've seen. I mean, I get the issues here and there, but I'm just like, there's no way they're gonna land this plane. There's no way. People have gotten so invested in that program that they're gonna. There are people who are like, it hasn't been good since season two, and I'm like, but you're still watching here in season what, 7 or 8? So what the fuck are you still watching for, right?
But you know what that is. The reason people are upset and they keep blaming like the double D's. I'm like, blame the writer who ain't wrote a book in damn near a decade.
But it's not even that to me. It's like, to me, it's something that's gotten too big to ever succeed. Like it's just too big to ever succeed. It's the same thing that happened with Walking Dead for a while, where Walking Dead got too big to succeed. And now, I mean, people are now like, no, seriously, Walking Dead is good now. And a lot of people are just like, I left. I can't come back. To me, and my whole point of bringing this with Star Trek Discovery is, I kind of love the fact that while this show is really popular on streaming, that it's not so popular that people are like live tweeting and talking about it like they do Game of Thrones.
Because we're gonna sign off of this, and then we're probably all gonna watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
I'm actually glad that the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cleared out a lot of people.
Right. No, I'm not. Yeah.
Yep. For exactly the reason you said.
You can watch it. Like, I can watch Star Trek. Because think about when Star Trek first came out, that first season, everybody had all these think pieces and stuff like that. And then you watch this season, and like, you guys had talked yourselves out of a fucking great show. Mm-hmm. You talked yourself out of a great show.
Still hate watchers out there.
No, no, they are. Mm-hmm. I don't care about them.
They're in the YouTube sphere for some reason.
And they're fine. But, that's fine. There's always going to be those. But it's not to the level of there's a meme and stuff like that to the point where you can't breathe it. Like, this is one of the few shows that I don't even call this a review. I come back and it's like just celebrating and talking about it with you guys and you all and enjoying it. And that's it. Like, it's not a review. It's a discussion and a celebration. And then we sign off, and it's like, yo, when did that shit come back? You know, that's what this is, because that's what it should be. Like, I'm kind of over, like, doing, like, legit reviews of, like, TV shows, because at this point, TV requires so much commitment to watch. It's like, I'm only going to do that shit if it's good. If it's a bad show, I'm not going to watch 7 seasons of a fucking bad show. Like, I wasn't going to sit there. I'm paying to watch Star Trek Discovery. I'm not going to pay to watch Star Trek Discovery. I'm exhausted right now. Here about to talk about Star Trek. I wouldn't do that shit. It's not worth it to me. And I'm kind of glad that this show, I want this show to succeed. I want people to know this show. And like I said, it's just weird to me. Like, people watch like 8 seasons of Game of Thrones and complain about diversity not being part of the show. And I'm like, Star Trek Discovery is right there.
Well, it's that. Right, and there. Also, I mean, for you to expect a show that was never particularly diverse, like,
that's what
Game of Thrones is a Lily White show. And you've watched 7 seasons of a Lily White show. What made you expect all of a sudden
it's going to be different?
To be something other than a Lily White. Yeah. I mean, again, like you said, I don't want to get too far into this Game of Thrones thing.
Right. But
I will say, so here's the difference. I think Star Trek has narrowly averted becoming a party. And Game of Thrones is a party. Like, I checked out of Game of Thrones. I checked out of Game of Thrones a couple of seasons ago. And I've said this on Twitter. I got back into the show because I like all the shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to watch the show so that I'm literally watching the show for the jokes the next day. And I mean, you can say what it, you can judge me however you want to judge me on that. I'm not that invested in the show, but it's a party. And that, I think the negative side to that is that people, even though they hate the show, will engage in the show for the party. And I'm glad to start that this is not that.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say, just to get us back off of it. Like you said, everything that people say they want from Game of Thrones is right there in Star Trek. You have an incredibly diverse cast. It is an ensemble cast. They've made great painstaking efforts to make sure it's an ensemble cast.
Better than the first season.
And every relationship matters. Like every relationship hits. Like watching, I have to finish this write up, but I'm just still in awe. So at AwesomeCon, Gates McFadden, during the Women in Sci-Fi panel, said she was fired. Like, I didn't realize this. I forgot that I knew she had left The Next Generation in season one. I didn't know she was fired. And the reason they fired her is she kept calling out the sexism on set. Like, the fact that her character had no significant interaction with any other woman on screen. And by the time they actually did it, she said they had us in those stupid, and these are her words, in those stupid fucking leotards, exercising, worrying about our thighs. That was the only time you had her in any kind of a scene with another woman. When they were interacting about her, they never really centered on her feelings when they were talking about her own kid. And it was just a really problematic environment. And I loved everything that her and Mary McDonnell from Battlestar Galactica were talking about, but I hated that they ran out of time for Q&A, because I would have loved to have asked her, you know, have you seen Discovery? And based on your experiences, what do you think? Because we didn't get any of that with this show. Like, it was almost like they learned from the lessons and their fuck ups from the past.
Well, that's what you want, though, yeah, right? Go ahead.
Terry Farrell from Deep Space Nine, with the new Deep Space Nine documentary that's coming out, she talked about that as well in the documentary, and calling out the writers and the producers about the way they treated her character and how they fired her. It seems like a lot of the women from Star Trek have had a significant amount of issues with the producers in the background. But you never heard it too much with Gene Roddenberry, but it seemed like this new wave of producers there, thank God, are gone.
Were
responsible for a lot of those actions.
Well, go back to what I was saying. It's the, let's do it right. Let's do it right. Like, there's that scene in episode 14 with Giorgio and Nan. When they're basically like, yo, we're gonna go fuck up Leland right now, yo. It's like, we're gonna, and you know what?
Control was written by some dude bros.
You said what now?
Team Bucket.
Yeah.
He sounded like he was coded by some dude bros.
Yeah. Yo,
like, women, shut up. I'm like, oh, you guys need to kill.
Oh yeah, that was heavy handed. I'm not gonna lie. That was one of the heavy handed things that kind of stood out. It was like, I get it though. Like, to me, it kind of goes back to me. I feel like they doubled down and made it even more so because of the hate they did get that season one from dude bros. They were like, oh, y'all had a problem then? All right, cool. Let's see what we do this time. Let's see how far we go with it this season. We're gonna double down, triple down on it, and go into that. So there's so many of these moments where you get like, if we're going to be real, like, look, like, we'll get to Captain Pike later on, but like, the amount of women that step up and are important, like, if you think about it, if I'm going back and looking at it, and they don't really point this out, but every one of the signals involved women, not just like, you know, Burnham going back, but there was Saru's sister, there was Areno, there was Poe. Like, every single one of the signals involved women. Wasn't, even when they went to the planet where the settlement was there, wasn't it the guy's daughter or something like that? I can't remember.
She was the one who saw the signal and got her father.
Right. Every single one of them was women.
When you look at how they were able to pull this off, everyone that was critical to this working was a woman.
Yes.
The Admiral Cat. Poe, Reno, Giorgio, Burnham, Tilly, getting the shields back online.
Number one.
Without the women, they were fucked.
Yeah, number one. You know,
number one. Yep.
Retrofitted the retrofitted the ships for battle.
She's like, yeah. I knew you guys were going to call me, so I thought ahead.
I also love how that they were just everybody's giving their name. They're like number one.
And that's good.
That was
all you
knew. That was good. But no, honestly, Burnham's mother, like everybody, every significant character that did something was centered around women, and it's not subtle, and a lot of times it's women of color, and so it's just how this is again. Like I grew up on Star Trek. I love Star Trek. I love watching Star Trek. I love watching those old Star Treks, knowing that there's sexism involved. Like I said, listen, I've sat through Star Trek. I know about Code of Honor. Right, I've seen that episode. Seen
that is the Voldemort of the Star Trek universe, and I would appreciate you not invoking that name anymore.
I'm just saying, it happened. Right,
you do not need the Dark Lord of the Star Trek universe.
That's exactly why I tell people not to watch the original pilot, even though that's where Pike comes from.
Right, I mean, but it's we've all seen it. We've all seen this happen, and we've known that even with that. It was still ahead of its time, right? So even with those issues that were there, it was still ahead of its time. You're like, man, what if they, and this is like, what if they came back and they did it right? What if they came back and made this really nuanced, great show that is high in sci-fi, that is really accessible, I believe, to people who aren't Star Trek fans. Like, you can not be a Star Trek fan and watch this stuff and be totally invested, because it's also a great story. I mean, like, what is, I don't know what it is, but like between Endgame and now this, and there was Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have a lot of start. We've been having a lot of time travel. Like The Flash, Legend of Tomorrow, like this, we're just all in on time travel right now. So here we got this time traveling stuff we're doing here, and it's engaging. It makes sense. You're like, wow. And then, you know, you become invested with all these characters. Like, I think it's episode 14, I believe, where the rest of the crew of Discovery is like, we're going to stay with Burnham, and they're doing their goodbye letters to their loved ones.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was in episode
13. That was hard. Right.
Yeah.
It was so good because, again, like Pike says, like, you all are Starfleet officers. You know, you're going to do your job to the best of your ability. I believe in you, and you're going to do this. And they all do. Like, this is, it's amazing. Like, the way they pull this whole thing off is just, by the time I get to 13, I'm running on the treadmill just booking, because I'm like, yo, I'm excited. This is great. Like, you know, it's amazing. This is a great fucking show. And there's just so much they throw in these three episodes that pays off throughout the whole thing. Like, it hit me in 14, I think, is when, the last episode is when Burnham is taking, is in the suit. And I was like, yo, she started the war in a suit. She started the war. She started the war doing the same thing. She started the war by in that suit navigating. And here she is about to not just end the war, but save all sentient life in the universe, doing the same thing and doing the same kind of navigation shit. Like,
With the Klingons by
her side. Like, it's full circle.
Look, I cheer so fucking loud when that cleaver showed up. I'm like, yeah!
You ain't the only one. I was watching on Twitter, and I actually was like, oh my God, the Klingons are here.
Yo.
Like, I'm like, what about the Kelpians taking the Balu stuff and, like, booking it?
Yo,
the Balu needed to be afraid.
Yo, Saru, yo, Commander Crustacean's sister showed up with a hoodie and everything. I'm like,
the revolution is on.
Right, yo, you know the revolution is on when they come.
Oh, so y'all like learned how to pilot these ships that quick? And I was like,
that quick. I was like,
we'll allow it.
Yo, hoodie season, nigga. Hoodie season. We in. You know, she's wearing Jordans and everything. I say, like, go ahead.
Yeah, episode 13. Like,
right now, oh my God.
Yeah. Episode 13, I didn't know this was going to be a two-parter. So when they ended, it felt like very much, I know there was going to be another episode, but it felt very much like the end of The Best of Both Worlds, where you really didn't know what was going to happen. Like, it was so tense. Like, the tension of that, the way they ended that season, that episode, I was like, they could have just ended it right there and started season three with the next episode, but I'm glad they didn't.
No. But, and all I know is I need to stop listening to Hamilton, because when Burnham said we are outgunned, I was like, outmanned, outnumbered, outplayed. I started singing the song. So first of all, I'm just like, oh my God.
George Washington would be pleased. I was like,
We're gonna come back to the we're gonna come back to Burnham's I am Iron Woman moment, because when she put the suit on, I was like, yo, we really just had in game. Like, this is she re now? Like we suited up. But going back to 13, so 13 did something really really great too. Is when you find out the clan on the surface is Ash and Laurel's son.
Like, oh, he done grew up real fast.
And I was like, oh wow, time. And I'm like, yo, that's you're hitting it. Like, that makes sense. Like, it made sense. It was crazy, but you're caught off guard. And you're like, wait. So when Pike comes back and was like, you know, yeah, your son helped me. He was like, they're both like, what do you mean? Time's different down there, yo.
When in diapers?
Right.
What is happening?
Right. Mm. Time's different down there. Mm-hmm. Time's different.
Speaking of which, I love that known look that Pike and Burnham shared after Burnham saw the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you saw some shit, didn't you? Yeah, I saw some shit, too.
Yeah, it's
the look on Pike's face when he came back. I mean,
oh man,
that was Anson Mount, yo.
Oh, give him his thing.
He makes
fuck you, like Perl Mutter or Scott Buck or whoever the fuck did that. Invincible. Well,
both of them. Well,
answer is yes.
No, again, after the bullshit of Inhumans. And you see what he does with Captain Pike here. Like, there were several moments here when he says some shit, and I'm like, you goddamn right, Captain. We going, oh, wait, I'm not on the ship. Let me calm myself down. I'm just on my fucking couch right now.
But like, the first goddamn episode, and I was like, look, we riding with you, dog.
And I signed up. Where's my application for Starfleet? I want in now.
When he says at the end, when he says
my favorite part in this one though was when he was transferring back to the Enterprise, and JoJo was like, "Oh, by the way, I'm from the Mirror Universe." He's like, "What Mirror Universe?" And he winked at her. I was like, "A new ship has sailed."
I tweeted that I wanted the fan fiction of them together. Like,
yes,
get to writing.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, you know, it ain't no fun if Georgiou can't have none. We've already established that one. We've already had that. But no, like it's everything. It's
before. What I want to see in this Section 31 show is JoJo's body count.
Yeah,
and we ain't talking about murders.
She was on her own against Leland.
And no. When we say body count, we ain't talking about murders.
Y'all talked about me, and I was gonna go there, but I was gonna let it go. But since y'all opened the door. Look, this show has figured out that Spock's ass is in an away suit is my aesthetic, because it keeps giving it to me.
Hey, it's all right. We can all be a little thirsty every now and then.
We all right.
Real quick, going back to Pike real quick. There's a couple things. One, with him, when he gets back to the Enterprise and he's talking and Trevor's going and he's saying, that's my family. I was like, It didn't feel forced. Remember when he first came in, he's a new guy becoming the captain of the ship, and we're like, yo, it should go to somebody else. Who the fuck is this nigga over here? And by the end, you're like, yeah, you know what? You did become a family.
That's that nigga Pike.
Yeah. You did become a family. But also, it shows you how noble Pike is. The fact that he was given a choice. It's like, you saw your future. You didn't have to, you see what it's gonna be. It's horrible looking. And he still took the crystal. He was like, no, I have to do this. It's my duty, and I have to do this. I can't be afraid of what my future will be or may be. I have to do this because it's the right thing to do, and it's my job. And it just shows you. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to apologize. I think like two episodes in when we were doing the review, I said, well, what if they do like a fake out of Pike, you know, getting in the shuttle accident, but he doesn't. But right. They went there. They showed the real stuff, and I cried. I was like, I was not prepared for them going. What was going to happen to him?
And it shows you that this is a man who knows that his future is pretty much set in what it is, and it's full steam ahead. It's like I can't really change that. I can't go away from that. you know, if they ever do that Pike show and they end with that scene, he's going to try to save that crew member who's there, and it's going to cost him everything. Like, you know, that's just the man he is. And by the end of this season, you get that. And it's something that I don't think we've ever really gotten, not just with Pike ever, but I don't think we've really, like, I guess the closest you've ever kind of gotten is Sisko. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Sisko fan, but it's like of a person who knows what their destiny is and takes it forward. Here, it's a little bit different. Like, you see how much of a noble person Pike is, and it brings back things back. Like, when Admiral Cornwell tells him, it's like, yeah, the reason why you said the war is we needed the best of us here. You're like, I see that. Like, before I was like, oh, that's bullshit. You just saying that to the because you thought he was soft. Like, you didn't believe that shit. But after watching, like, how this goes down, you're like, no, absolutely right. No, he just
you that need, guy.
Yeah, he's that
he
guy.
Is absolutely that guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He is that guy. The Admiral kind of reminded him again when they were trying to disarm that torpedo and shift it so it wouldn't destroy the ship. And she's like, yeah, you got to go. You can't stay here with me.
Yeah.
Your destiny.
And that was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, now I'm an admirable. Jesus fucking Christ, I need to go to bed. Now I'm an admirable.
Have you had a drink already?
Season one, huh? No, not yet, but it's okay. You know,
and there's so many sacrifices like that. It's like Ash knowing that he can't go with Burnham.
And then he... I did not mention that at all. I'd be fine. Sank like the Titanic.
But it shows you the tragedy, right? It's like, yo, in order, he loves Burnham, but in order to save her, he had to go. He couldn't go with them because he had to go off and rally the troops. He had to do that,
right?
You know, and you know,
couldn't he have hitched a ride like right after he did that?
So here's if we're really gonna do these shipping things and the things are broken. So here's the one that hurts me the most. He wasn't there, was he?
No, he was on the ship with them.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he was there.
You remember, because Stamets got hurt and he was going to go to the Enterprise, but they brought Stamets in.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, are we sure Stamets ain't just seeing you there?
Oh, no, I hate you right now.
I
never crossed my mind, Chris.
I hate myself. So hear me out. I am not doing this on purpose. I hate myself for thinking it. But because he's like, Stamets is in and out of it. And then Hugh shows up out of fucking nowhere. Like, he was not in there. If he was there, like, the other doctor would have needed the help. So all of a sudden, Hugh pops out of nowhere. And it's like, I'm here to help. And I'm just like, yo, I have a bad feeling about this. I feel, oh my God. Like, I don't want I thought everybody was going to notice it.
You are the arbiter of everything that is said in this universe. Stop that.
But I thought everybody else would have noticed
it. I need you to be a better man.
Avengers Initiative.
The only reason why I'm going to argue this is because the writers knew how much of a fucking riot we threw when they killed him in the first place. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're going to get rid of him for season three.
Chris, I will find your father's house and I will find you. I will go to you. Look. We come back next season and he was not on that goddamn ship. I'm telling you right now.
All I said was Avengers Initiative. I didn't expect bodily harm.
I'm full on taken.
And you know what? I will deserve it because I don't want it to be true either. It was just one of those weird. You know what it is? I didn't want to get too happy. I didn't want to be like, because I was like, come on, man. You got when he was like, he's going to Enterprise. I'm like, wait, Stamets is going to the future. No, you can't do that. Oh man, come on. So then when he shows up, I'm really happy. I'm like, wait a minute. Stamets is like high on drugs and he doesn't see. Why is nobody else talking to Hugh? Come on, man. Don't do this shit to me. Don't give me hope and snatch it away. So I hope I'm wrong. But I'm just saying, go back and watch those scenes. Go back and watch those scenes. And
not from your eyes, I won't know.
No, it was a happy moment. I enjoyed the fact they made up. They're going to the future together because this is his home. I'm going with a happy ending.
Yeah, we're not.
Okay, all right.
They took.
You have been overruled, sir.
They're not taking this shit from us.
I hope I'm wrong.
You are. Okay. And I need you to sit in that and embrace it.
All right.
I mean, it's bad enough they took away the chili potion just as it was starting to thin.
Oh, yeah, they did. Look, I was so glad to see them. I loved how they react. I love Queen Poe.
Right. Shout out to Tilly.
Queen Poe can take Georgia because I, for a second, thought she could.
Look, the fact that she was like, I don't have to deal with snark. I outlawed it on my planet, so you can shut right the fuck up. I'm like, ah!
And then she handed her a bowl.
So this is a great point. Like, and we said this when we started doing the reviews for the season. We're like, we wonder how they're going to pull those short treks in. We feel like they're important and. Holy shit, were they? Like, they really did fit all those things into this season, even to the point
especially
of...
Especially Calypso.
Right. It's like,
yeah,
well...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right. It's like, well, if that's Discovery and it's in the future, how did it get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many questions, there's so many things we can see with that, and that might be what we see with season 3 is... what happens when this ship now is in the future. It's like, I'm amazed
by how they... One thing about Calypso that now that the season's ended, I think it's very important now, is the fact that Aldous Hodges' character would not tell the AI, Discovery's AI, his name. And mm-hmm. he said it's because where he comes from, you only tell it to the people you know, you just don't keep your name out. And here we have that hidden information at the end of the season where everyone told a lie that Discovery blew up. The spore drive, you know, went bonkers.
I didn't even think
they're not going to mention these people again.
I didn't even think it was that. I'm thinking back to the planet that Tyler and Laurel's son was at. No one had names.
So
Tenvik wasn't going to give Pike his name,
right?
Originally.
So there's that. But also the thing that stuck out to me about Dan Calypso was the fact that the ship was sentient. Which you see kind of happening in 14 when they try to blow it up and it protects itself. It's like, oh, that sphere data is now inside of the ship and is now part of Discovery. And what you're probably going to then see is it becomes almost a living ship, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the interesting piece that the new piece there that you kind of get from tying that in there. So that's going to be an interesting piece there. Like, There's just and you got to remember even in that episode Aldous Hodges' character, it's like there's a war going on, so wherever Discovery ends up at, it's not a peaceful time, you know.
And here's something else to think about. We don't know what happened to the Federation.
Exactly.
I mean, we are going. This is the furthest anything in Star Trek has done. I mean, this is the 33rd century probably.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. The Federation may have collapsed. The Federation may have turned into something completely different. Well, you know, Section 31 may have taken over. Who knows? That's
the
uncharted territory.
That's the perfect part.
Right.
That is the perfect part.
We've gone from a show that was people were complaining because they knew how everything was going to turn out, and they didn't, to now, it's now literally going, you know, to where nobody's ever been before. We've never seen this. We've never mapped this out. And now they can literally do whatever the hell they want.
They are no longer tied to canon. Right. That makes me happy.
They can but make it, their own canon.
They marvelized it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like they rewrote the canon on the fly by showing pieces that you didn't see before. And then they moved on. Like they took a chapter out of Marvel's book.
Yeah, this, you know, is what Marvel's done, and it allows them to kind of play with our own knowledge and what you think, because it really is like what people have done with what Marvel's done with Phase 3, where people knew, oh well, the Skrulls are evil, so they're gonna obviously be the evil people in Captain Marvel, and it was a little bit different than that, right? And They've been playing with that stuff on and off. The same thing in Endgame. They play with your knowledge. Or what they did with the Far From Home trailer, where people were like, they said multiverse, but Mysterio's also a bad guy, so can we really believe him? And so Discovery was doing that for the first two seasons. Like, you think you know what's going to happen. You know what happens to Pike. So they kept teasing it with us the entire time, and they show us his future, but it's not his future at this moment. I'm not gonna lie. When that torpedo gets lodged in the hull of Enterprise, I'm like, is this how it happens? I mean, it's not supposed to be how it happens, but is this how it happens? So when he goes down to meet Cornwell, I'm like, okay, here we go. She's like, you know it's not your time.
And you I was know? Like, it's not?
Right. Speaking to us.
Yeah.
Because we knew it wasn't his time.
Right.
Because I kind of thought it was.
But it plays with you on that. It plays with you on that and gives you that. It's like, I don't know. Like I said, this to me is a show that I don't want to review because I don't have to review it because it's just talking about all the good moments we get, the stuff, the payoff we get. Like when we finally see Spock and we see the troubled relationship between him and Burnham, and then we see how that develops. And if you think about how this show develops that relationship in, this is only 14 episodes, and they did develop that relationship in like 5 episodes.
And it was beautiful.
To the point that when he can't go with her, and you're like,
I was like, why?
But here's the thing. We know he couldn't go with her. We knew there had to be something that happened that made so Spock could not go with Burnham. But at the same time,
I was rooting for a mirror universe Spock to show up, god damn it.
but again, who to say that could have been a possibility, right? There were so many other ways for this to work, and they did it anyway, and it caught us. And so when they're having that conversation, and when he says "I love you" to her in Vulcan, you're just like, "See, why you gotta do that to me? Why you trying to hit me right there in the gut?" And then so the end when Spock is talking about how Burnham taught him and how he's waiting for her signals, waiting for her signal that she made it in the future. Like, you're getting kind of choked up a little bit. He shaves the beard off and everything. You're just like, come on, man. Why you gotta... Y'all really getting me in the heart right there. Like, this show... Imagine a show where the title is Star Trek Discovery, and it ends the last 5 or 10 minutes going into fading into black.
It's on the Enterprise.
It's not only on the Enterprise, but it involves none of the bridge characters, none of the characters from the Discovery, none of them. None of them are there. None of them, you hear from none of them. The only thing you get is that signal and Pike, number one, and Spock and the bridge crew of the Enterprise kind of sharing that moment of they made it, they're okay. And that's it.
If I recall correctly, didn't it end with the theme song to the original series?
Yeah.
I was about to mention that, yeah.
It was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So.
And it was great.
And at no point do any of us feel cheated. And none of us go, nah, man, that's fucked up. It's not an Enterprise show. It's about Discovery. What happened to them? None of us feel that way. You're just like, you know what? That was fucking perfect. Because we know we're coming back. We know we're going to get something with Discovery. But like, That worked. That was perfect. You needed to end at that point because at that it was literally the goodbye to what you know. It's the goodbye to, all right, we're ending here with the bridge crew of the Enterprise with that original music. We're going off into their journey. Say goodbye, because when we come back for Discovery, you ain't getting that shit no more.
Right. I have to say, I would totally watch an Enterprise show with this bridge crew.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was so against that until, Ethan Peck.
If episodes 13 and 14 didn't sell you on a Pike show, I don't know what could.
Give me all my things, what it Joe.
Is. I'm sold.
Give me my things, man. Come on. Give them to me.
And then pulling out of the focus on the bridge crew. Okay, that's how you do a backdoor pilot.
Yeah,
those
2 minutes.
It works. They gave you. They seeded their Star Trek universe with past and now future. You know, we're good. I'm in there. I'll watch that. I'll be down for that. Like, they pulled it off. Like, it was an... And it's risky. I'm not going to sit there and say that it wasn't risky to try to go this route, and they did. And not only that, but they let them tell their story. This show's gotten weird. We've gotten a mirror universe. We have a crazy AI.
A homicidal captain.
Right.
In Georgia.
Right. You know, who's still
Klingon hybrid in Tyler.
Who's now apparently, like, that's another thing too. It's like, the way they lead this, you're like, they might do that Captain Pike show now, because it's like, well, now you got me interested in what the hell Tyler's going to do, because now they're trying to make him leading Section 31. Mm-hmm. So what the hell are we going to do? So now you gotta do that.
They are in the corner. They have no choice.
Yeah,
it has to be done.
You've made me invested in... You've made me invested in Laurel and what she's doing with the Klingon Empire. You made me invested in Ash Tyler and his journey. And the thing about it is, none of their journeys are over. You made me invested in Saru's sister and their people and what their evolution is. Like, I'm invested in the present, and Star Trek and Discovery now is in the future. So, yeah, you got to do the show.
Poe is the reason we have dilithium crystals.
That's something you
heard about in Star Trek from 1963.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I'm. There's only so much. What else am I supposed to do? This is how I feel every time I have to review like Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or like Legend of Tomorrow. It's like, the fuck you want me to do? What the fuck you want me to review? It's like, nigga, the shit's great. Go watch it. Like, what else is there to say about this? You know,
watch the show, anime.
Yeah, you good? I just don't know. I don't. At this point, I'm like, they gave me so much. Like, do you remember when we first met Tilly? Like, the name of the review, I called it like
53%.
I called her the 53% roommate. I was like, get this bitch the fuck out of here. Now I am totally invested in Tilly.
Yeah,
like I want
drinking champion Tilly, who does science stuff.
Yo,
and everyone
kills while drunk, while blindfolded. I'm sorry.
And this time, fixed him while with her eyes closed because of muscle memory.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's that bitch. She's that bitch.
He is my hero.
I also love the moment. I can't remember if it was 13 or into 14, where Pike is like, all right, you know, and then there's the topic of the captain, who's going to be captain for the Discovery. And I'm just like, come on, why y'all fucking playing? It's motherfucking Saru. It's yo, give Captain...
Give Saru his things.
Give Captain Crustacean his fucking things. Because listen, yo, in 14, in the battle, yo...
Listen.
My nigga Saru got some bass in his voice, yo. My nigga Saru over here talking cash shit. Like, he's giving commands. He's leading the ship. Like, that... He is he's Captain Saru.
At the moment when he was captain, he's like, okay, you're going to see a human.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a human, but he is not a human. And then everyone said, aye, Captain.
Yo.
And they turned the screen off.
Yo. Like,
and the fans are back and forth with Giorgio.
Oh, yeah. Like, what do you know about Sun Tzu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just...
Him getting rid of that threat ganglion was the greatest thing they've done for him.
No,
yeah.
But again, it shows you the development of the characters to the point where, like I said, I feel like when Pike was like, you know, there's the matter of who will be captain. It felt like everybody on there was like, nigga, it's Saru. What the fuck are we talking about? Of course it's Saru.
I feel like everybody was like, dude, we all about to fucking die. Can we talk about this another time? This is not the time right now.
Yeah. Next captain is Saru. Next question.
Right. It's like, come on. Why are you wasting our fucking time? Everybody knows it's Saru. Like, he's done it, you know? So it's just, oh my goodness, just so good. So fucking good.
I gotta say this because I dropped out, so but Ethan Peck, like, all respect to Zachary Quinto. Like, he held it down. Mm-hmm. Ethan Peck is my spot, dog.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's my spot. And that's the thing. Like, between him and Anson Mount, I was so much against, like, why do we have to give Pike a show? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Nah, give me my Pike show.
No, give me that.
One more Rebecca Romijn.
I want it now.
Yeah.
Yo, they did it. They pulled it off. It worked. It got you invested. It's like, again, this has been a show where I've doubted some of the things they could do, and they said, nah, seriously, we got you. We got you. And they did. They pulled it off. Like, you got this diverse crew. You got this. You got the focus of the women of Star Trek. The women of Star Trek being the saviors of this show. Like, it really, going back to what you were saying about how the previous producers of previous Star Treks have treated women and the sexism and stuff like that, this show feels like it's, again, it doesn't make up for that. It doesn't take away the pain that they had when they were going through that. But it's got to feel good to see, you know, a show that finally recognizes, you know, no. We've historically treated women poorly on this show. We're going to make them the centerpieces of this. And this season is all about them. Like, all the, like, again, you know, we love Anson Mount. I love Doug Jones. I love all of them. But, like, I love Anthony Rapp. We love Wilson Cruz. But, like, all the female characters on this. I even love the fact that, remember they killed off, what's her name? Arun? What was her fucking name?
Yes.
Arium.
And then they brought her same actress back in a different role.
And then they didn't just bring her back. But, like, for the longest time, I was like, yo, who's this white chick? Why is she? And I was like, oh. So they didn't just bring her in. She's literally an active member of the crew doing things. She's literally doing things. And at one point,
she was there helping build the suit.
Right. And but even then, Pike calls her out and says, hey, you stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so even when they kill off the character, they still brought that actress back. Like, think about how many times, like, an actress who is doing, you know, has all this makeup on, is doing all this stuff, and her character gets killed off, she's off the show. They don't bring her back. Done. They brought her back. It was like, listen, we have the ability to basically say, you can still play. We're killing your character off, but you're going to play a new character on the same show. It's fine. You're good. They did the same thing with. They did the same no thing. With, going,
right? Huh? So it's almost as if Alex Kurtzman knows what he's doing.
Yeah, go figure.
You know, Star Trek 2009. Hi, and then, you know, got rid of Roberto Orci. Bye.
You know, it's,
you know, that's what happens when you have a good showrunner. Hi, Scott Buck, you asshole.
Yeah, like I said, it's just. I really appreciate what they've done with this and how they've done it. And now we go to the future with Discovery and its crew. And who knows what's going to happen.
Wide open.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen.
The show becomes Voyager again.
I was thinking of that. I was like, yo, you're literally now a one ship in a future we have no in a place that we've never been before, to boldly go where no man's gone before. Technically, man's gone there before because there are going to be men living in the future. But, like, for this crew, it's a whole new thing, and the name of the ship makes sense. Discovery, you know. So, all right, you guys got anything else? Or are we going to go into some of these emails?
I need a post show.
I do want to say that the
even
show
if it's just a mini short. I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. The show is so beautiful. I mean, it's so amazing, this show. How the space battle and the effects and the swarming of the different drones. Nothing has been done on television before. And
I need the uniforms. I want the Enterprise uniforms. I want them now.
But the one thing I want to note is that one of the drones looked like Eve from WALL-E.
It did! I thought it was...
And that is canon for me. She's part of Starfleet right now. When I saw that, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
I do want to...
You are so right. It really did.
Yeah. I will say, I was like, wait, you guys always have those... Yo, I've never seen those robots before. That makes sense, though. But then it was like, I will say, if you had the robots for the outside of the ship, why couldn't you have one of the robots pull down the blast shield inside? You know what? I'm going to let it go. It's fine. I'm not even going to. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go.
Yo, we didn't talk about the fight, the gravity change in the fight with
the Inception.
Oh, you mean the Inception fight?
Yeah, the Inception fight.
I was sitting there watching it like, okay, the special effects, they was throwing money out the window. And then they had that fight. And I was like, ooh, the practical effects is throwing money out the window. Like, how much money did they give them for this episode?
Well, let's be honest. Well, this show does something that they do a lot of. They do this of, like, there's a lot of inverted shots in this that they don't do and they haven't done. And it gives you a sense of space. So there's a lot of times the shots come in and you're upside down. Or and the shot rotates because, again, you're in space. So it kind of makes you feel like it really does draw you into the show. So this is like another one of the first Star Treks where it's like you're not just watching it, but you're experiencing it. You feel like you're inside of space. You feel like you're also on the Discovery. Can they do that? I encourage everybody. I'll probably go back and rewatch the season again myself too because it's fucking fantastic. But count how many times you come into it. They come into a shot. And it's rotating or it's upside down or something like that. And it gives you this sense of, while, they don't sense the space because they're inside the ship, inside the gravity, but you as the observer are outside. And it adds this other element and something that's so simple to do.
And or how about how big the ship is when they did the shot where you're going through the Discovery right before the window breaks as they were getting the suit to the shuttle bay?
Yeah.
Oh yeah!
You realize this is a massive ship.
Mm-hmm. Or you know what really drove it home for me was when they were about to evacuate and they were aligning Enterprise with Discovery, and then you see that the pullback shot. I'm like, "Fuck, Discovery is huge."
Well, and it makes sense then because when you're in that battle, right? When you're in the battle and you're like in Discovery, Enterprise are taking all of this damage, and they're like. Shields down the 60%, you're like, bitch, you guys are taking a lot of hits. Then you're like, oh, the ships are massive. Of course it would take, like, yeah, there were all these Section 31 ships and all this stuff, but they were small compared to what Discovery... I mean, Discovery and Enterprise are basically two flagships of the Federation. They're massive ships, like you said. And so it gives you this sense of scale. So when this is happening to these ships, you're like, oh, okay, makes sense. Versus if in previous Star Trek space battles, like, you know, you never get that sense of massive, like, oh, wow, yeah, photon torpedo, rip through the ship. The ship is disabled. It was easy. Here, it's not so easy. Like, Discovery and Enterprise can take massive amounts of damage, you know?
For a long period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, over a long period of time, you know? And, you know, there's that shot of the Enterprise coming in and going in between the drones coming in and Discovery and taking all the damage. And there, and at the end of all of that, there's like, yeah, our shields are down to 60%. I'm like, fuck, 60% still? Like, you guys took all that and you still got 60% of shield left? It's like, what the fuck? Like, you guys are killing it right now. It's like, you guys might be able to pull this up. Like, they're all worried. I'm like, oh, y'all niggas got this shit. 60% of that? I'm looking at the time. I'm like, nigga, we only got 20 minutes left. Y'all niggas good. Y'all, what the fuck? Let's keep this shit going. Shit, get a little cocky. So,
they go run out the clock.
Right? Yeah, shit, run that bitch out.
We got 5 more minutes on this episode. I think they good.
Right? Yo, go ahead and run. Go ahead and run that prevent defense, yo. Go ahead and run that prevent defense. You all got that shit. You good. So. And now we're going to do some of the emails people sent in to us for Star Trek Discovery Season 2. And in no way is this an extra recording of because GoToMeeting fucked up and we're now having to record the next day. No, we recorded all these on Friday, so there is nothing like that. Nothing like that happened. No, this is all...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. We've been here the entire time.
Big news.
The first email comes from Peyton. It says, Season 2 of Discovery has been amazing. They clearly had no cap on the special effects budget. Yeah, I'm serious. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. These episodes have been amazing. That space battle was amazing. They weren't even trying to hide the Mass Effect influences. There was an alien that looked like a Prothean, and the control... Control Leland sounded like Legion. I love this show. That's actually giving, now that I think about it, that's giving Leland, that's giving Legion a bad name.
It really is.
Legion. Yep.
Or just pick a random bad guest. There are plenty of them.
Yeah, Legion was actually my peoples, yo. Like, yo, I'm just saying. I love this show. It's DEFCON level good. The Emperor is the best. Yes, she is. Yeah, I don't. We said this earlier. I'll say it again. Apologies to CBS because I didn't think they put the money into it. I didn't. I really didn't think they put the money into it, and they fucking did. So
you gotta wonder how much of that though was the buy-in also from Netflix for shooting it overseas as well.
Probably almost all of it.
It's the number one streaming worldwide through Netflix.
Yeah. So
I'm going to give the credit. I'm not giving credit to CBS.
Yeah.
That
last space battle, they had like actual like space dust debris when things blew up.
Yeah. It's but doctor, you're not going to give CBS credit? I mean, they did Supergirl though.
Hey, you know what? Supergirl aside, they did one of my favorite shows in the world, Person of Interest. And you know what they did to Person of Interest? They fucked it over in its last season. So no, I'm not giving CBS any credit.
It really does feel like
that's fine. I'll give credit for you because they did have JAG, which was one of my favorite all-time CBS shows. One of the few.
Yeah, but I mean, I like JAG too. But like, let's be honest here. That falls into the old people, the old people shows. That go on for like 20 seasons. Like, isn't Jack? Is Jack still on?
No, Jack is on. But NCIS is. I think it's like
close enough.
Going for a record, is going to be like in its 18th season.
I'm pretty sure.
It's NCIS New Orleans, NCIS Los Angeles, and all of that other fun stuff.
NCIS Mars, NCIS Venice. Jesus fucking Christ!
It's
CBS. I have to admit.
Go ahead.
I have to admit, Hawaii Five-0 was my joy for a little while.
Get rid of all the people.
Until they got rid of the Asians.
Bingo. Until they got rid of all the Asians.
How you get rid of all of the Asians on a Hawaiian show?
I'm just going to say, it feels like CBS All Access is not CBS. But so,
I refuse to believe it.
There's an email from Felix that says, "Hi guys, Felix here. The finale was so amazing. I'm still getting myself together after seeing that. They look like a whole ass movie. I just watched the Netflix money is really showing what the effects. I don't think I was quite ready for how much was going to happen when I turned on Netflix last week." Oh, that's right, because Felix is overseas, so he gets to watch it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Lucky you. Skipping to the end a bit, man, I was really happy when my man Spock finally lost the beard. He was looking so fresh in that last sequence. Not fresh enough that I want a whole spinoff for, like some folks, but I do hope we see them again next season. Like we said here, it's like, I mean, if they don't do a spinoff, I'm fine. But they did something that I think for a lot of us, we didn't think they were going to do, which is make us actually care enough and think about the possibility of them doing a sequel, you know? Like, I mean, not a sequel, but a spinoff, like, beginning of seasons, like the Enterprise, an Enterprise show with Pike and Spock. No, we don't need that. Now then, we're like, let's hear them out.
I'm sold now. I'm sold.
Yeah, let's.
They had that sequence at the end where they panned the entire crew and then they panned out of the Enterprise.
Yeah, it's like you
that's the sell,
right? They
built this expensive set. They better use it for more than just a few scenes in three episodes.
Like the end of season two of Discovery is like a pilot for in the cell for an Enterprise show. Like they kind of got me. I'm not gonna lie. They got me. Like CBS got me for the Star Trek shows. I'm in until they fail. They got me.
And I won't lie. No offense, y'all interviewed Rebecca Romijn at San Diego, and I'm like, where's my girl? So I'm glad that she finally showed up. I'm like, where's my girl?
So you know the funny thing about that, right? You know we weren't in the Star Trek Discovery. She wasn't. She might have been on the panel, but she was not in the interview room. So we got that interview because Shanna asked her that while we were. She was either voicing Lois Lane or she was voicing Wonder Woman. I can't remember who she was voicing in The Death of Superman or one of the animated shows for DC. And so she was there and Shannon was like, I'm going to ask her about Star Trek. And that's how we got that sound bit, because she was not in the room for the interviews for Star Trek Discovery. So, yeah, like she did a great job. She wasn't there a lot, but like it goes back to this show does a really good job with an ensemble cast.
The only mystique I will ever acknowledge from Fox is all I'm saying.
Pretty much.
Definitely the best looking.
Going back a bit.
Best acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That too.
And they didn't even have her say a lot. Going back a bit, the last episode really brought them. I mean, it's true. They like Brian Singer basically had her not speaking.
She didn't need to say a lot. Like, right.
I don't want her to say a lot. I get the
fuck out of it.
She has pathos.
Yeah. So
I always thought she was a good actress.
Going back a bit, the last two episodes really brought the entire story together. I really thought for a minute Burnham's mom was behind the signals, but it really does make sense for it to be Michael instead. The whole sequence when she was jumping back was beautiful. They managed to work a pretty decent time paradox. They managed to make a pretty decent time paradox work. Yeah, again, just we cannot state enough. Like, this is probably it's not just the most beautiful Star Trek ever. It's one of the most beautiful shows on TV. Particularly if you're in space. Like, I loved Battlestar Galactica, and this got me in there. Like, the way they do some of those scenes and some of those moments in space is just good. Knowing when to drop the sound out and when to show you a bunch of stuff on screen, and just it just brings you in. And I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but the way that they turn the shots – so it brings you in. So when you're upside down and they turn that shot, there's a lot of that coming in. When you're coming on somebody and they're reading, like there's somebody's reading a tricor or something like that, but they're upside down, but it's because it's space. And in space, it's like, you know, they have gravity on the ship. It's not like what we would think here on Earth. So it's like it's just different, and you feel brought into the show. And it just gives you these really, really beautiful shots. The jumping back, it reminded me of, Chris Nolan's Interstellar. Interstellar. Like, it's amazing, and I still can't believe they're putting this on a show. And granted, let's be honest here, like, they're putting money behind it. Like, this show, we're saying to CBS All Access, but this is really, let's be honest, this is a Netflix show. This is a Netflix show with a Netflix budget of millions and millions of dollars that, like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would never get. They would never get that. They're never going to get that fucking budget, right? So, like, come on. The moments of the human stamina to the end, you're so happy.
Shut up.
I didn't say a word.
I heard it. I didn't say anything.
I want to be wrong.
Shut up. You are not allowed to speak on this.
It's been
Avengers Initiative, and it don't even apply here, but I'm applying it. Shut up.
It's been a rough
time. Avengers Initiative always applies.
It really does, though. Avengers Initiative goes across boards. It's been a rough summer episodes with them not seeing eye to eye, but I'm glad they worked it out. Georgiou remains my favorite. I love a good redemption story, and her getting to off control at the end was very satisfying.
That wasn't redemption, dude.
Yeah, no. Well, right. So it's revenge. Like, let's keep it called what it is. That's not redemption. She got revenge and spite. And because Control tried to kill her and tried to kill Burnham, and that's all she cares about. So, and now she's off in the future with them, too. So,
is she? That's the part that confused me a little bit. I mean, because
I thought there was like an object that escaped Discovery before it left in the debris.
Oh, maybe it was. I didn't know. I didn't see that.
Make sense if she didn't come with, because, you know, Section 31 show.
Yeah, that would actually make sense. So.
No, you gave hope to my Titanic again. See, what happens is they make it, or she makes it back, and her and Tyler swap places, and my ship can sail again.
You gotta let it
go. Your ship has hit that iceberg and sunk. Because they've already put Tyler in charge of Section 31. So maybe you get a new ship with Tyler and Georgiou. Yeah,
You gotta let that one go.
Never.
At least he kept his beard.
Yeah.
He did.
A lot of stuff I really enjoyed, and a lot of made me emotional. All in all, a great season. My only gripes would have been to see more of the bridge crew. Oweskin and Detmer especially. I also also feel some kind of way about them shortening Oleskine's name, but that's mostly just a personal thing since I have issues with folks mispronouncing my actual first name and go by my middle name as a result. Just going with Oa sounds a bit off to me, but I have to remind myself these folks are actually friends and it's not just out of pocket. You know, this is something we
I also got the sense it's out of expediency. It's like her no offense, I have a three-syllable name. Her name is four syllables, and you trying to get orders through her quickly, you can't be tripping over syllables.
Oa is the best bet for that one. They would have shortened her name real quick.
Well, and I'll say this, like, they did a good. And it's something that, I mean, if there was one thing we said about first season, it was they didn't really give us a chance to really get to know that bridge crew. And that totally changed this season, right? Mm-hmm. Where we really get to know them, they're a part of the crew, and we see them. We even get the moments of downtime. We get those moments. And so you do feel like, so when you get that moment when they all stand in front of Burner and basically like, we're coming. You can't get rid of us that easy. It feels completely earned. You're like, yeah.
It means something. Yeah.
Her crew wouldn't leave her. She's part of the crew. Which again is just it shows you how far circle the show comes, right? I mean, I already mentioned before about the idea of her, you know, she's in that shot of her in the suit. It's kind of like the first season when she basically starts a war, and here she's in the suit again, flying through space with nothing around her but these ships, and she's ending a war, saving humanity. But there's also this idea, when she first came on Discovery, Burnham was a criminal. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody trusted her. We made jokes about Tilly being her 53% roommate and all this other shit. So no, we never would have felt that they would have felt her like she's part of the crew. But here we are, and they love her. She loves them, you know, and they're willing to say goodbye to their loved ones to come and back her up and make sure that, you know, and it wasn't just out of duty, right? It wasn't just, well, I'm a Starfleet officer, I got to do it. It was, nah, you're family, you're part of us, and we're going to be there to have your back. So completely earned.
I wonder how many people decided to stay behind.
Because, there was a lot of people in that ship. There was a lot of people in that ship.
Doctors.
I'm sure some of them did stick behind because, you know, like the regular crew members, not the main characters, like random extra number 15 who works in sick bay. Yeah, she probably stayed on the Enterprise or went somewhere else.
Well, I'm just saying.
Or maybe they all died. Who knows?
Well, the thing about it, that is, I'm not going to lie. So I'm glad you brought that up because it's one of the things I did notice. I was just like, there are a lot of people, like when they go to sick bay, I'm like, there's a lot of people still on the ship. Like, did the entire ship of Discovery basically say, nah, we stay in B? This is our ship. We stay in. Because I'm like, there's a lot of motherfuckers here, yo. This is not one of them ships that's operating on a skeleton crew. Like, there's a lot of bodies in that fucking thing. Like, I want to know who the one person was who was trying to get off but got stuck in the elevator somewhere. And be like, nah, dude, nah.
Well,
no,
also, Discovery we saw was, it's a massive vessel.
Right.
I mean, when they linked up with the Enterprise and Discovery linked up, you saw the comparisons.
Yeah.
That shot where they were taking the suit to the shuttle bay. And you're going through the ship and you're seeing all the different elevators and you get to that one glass thing that ends up damaging Stamets. It's huge. I don't think they have like Voyager, like 200 people on that ship.
Nah.
It might be a lot.
And it's precisely because of that, you can't, you know, their version of a skeleton crew looks a lot different. It's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of people.
Yeah. So who the person who drew the short straw? It's like, but I got PTO next week. I'm going to Disneyland.
You had PTO next week.
I'm going to Disneyland. Like, I'm just, what are we doing? Also, Michael looked good in that damn suit. Things like that always make me giddy watching the show. Such a fun ride. I'm waiting to see how they eventually get to the Section 31 show, and I'm enjoying that. We'll get out of the established timeline a bit and explore some place new next season. Hopefully less complaining from a certain friend of mine. Haha. All right, have a good one, folks. Felix out. So, yeah, I mean, again, we said this. I think them moving, the way they did this was pitch perfect, right? The way that they answered this questions about how the super advanced ship was here in this time and nobody's heard about it, and then able to kind of fill in gaps that we didn't know. Filling gaps was making Pike legendary and all these other things about that we didn't think, all these other questions we didn't think to ask, or maybe we did ask, nobody just asked out loud. Fill those things in, and now it's like Discovery did her duty. Now we can take her to the future. Now we can take her and play in a sandbox that we haven't even touched before and have even more fun. Like, is masterful.
It's like what you like what we said with, when we did the Captain Marvel comic book club, and when you know when you and Deepam talked about the Marvel movies, they show us they have the first two seasons of Discovery showed us everything that was off panel, just slightly off panel, and you know it helped fill like I said helped fill in the gaps, which is great because some gaps need to be filled in.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And they rewrote parts of canon, which is beautiful to me.
I love it.
I'm not one of those purists that, you know, I never quite understood the arguments, the canon arguments for this show. It wouldn't make sense if they kept things the way that they were in the 60s, because our technology has pretty much surpassed the Enterprise, with the exception of spaceships.
Well, it's the thing you mentioned before about the Marvelization. And how Marvel does it, right? There's an opportunity when you do live action, or when you do some movies, or when you take something that started, you know, in the 60s, and now you're doing it in 2019. There's an opportunity to do things you couldn't do before, and stay within the spirit of what it was, right? And that's the thing that's always missing, right? Nobody really has a problem with you making changes to canon or making changes to the source if you keep at the core of that change the spirit of what the original was supposed to be. And that's what Star Trek Discovery did. Yeah, did they change things? Did they make changes to canon here and there? Absolutely. Did they make those changes? One, were they probably improvements on the canon? Yes.
Yeah.
And two, did they keep with the spirit of what we knew? Yes.
Absolutely.
And so this is that, and that's the important piece here. Right, that's the important piece. I feel like everybody always misses when they talk about, oh well, you know, you guys want, say you guys wanted, you know, to be faithful to the source, but look, they made Ultron being born by, you know, and created by Tony Stark instead of Hank Pym. I'm like, but it keeps in the core what the characters are. It keeps with the core. If you think about where the characters are and how they do it and where they're at, and this makes sense for this story that's being told here, and it keeps the core of both characters intact. And that's what they did here with Star Trek Discovery, and it works. Like, we get a Spock who starts off as somebody who we kind of get, but we kind of don't see. But then by the end, you're like, I totally understand how this is Spock. This is Spock. This is our Spock. We get it now, right?
What I don't understand why there wasn't really, like, a celebration of, like, everyone's talking about, oh, the spore drive and holograms. Like, they're using the technology that the 60s show inspired to exist. And even Star Trek Next Generation, like, we're all walking around with pads. And they're using that technology from the real world to make this great, beautiful show. I mean, it should be like a celebration. It should be a modern, you know, the real world and the fictional world blended and merging together. And I just never understood why people hated that.
Oh, sweetie, you know why. All this beauty is as you said, but because a white man wasn't the center or the hero, none of it was relevant. That's where we are. Sadly, that's where it landed.
Yeah. It's
you're right. I mean, think about it. Bluetooth headphones. We walk around with an unconnected, corded, a wireless device in our ears to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Who didn't use their phone and act like Kirk and once in a while?
Messages via our Apple Watches. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just those kind of things always kind of bother me. It was like, oh well, they wouldn't have had that technology. I'm like, motherfucker, it's 2019.
Who gives a shit?
What did you want them to do? Did you want them to have the Nokia brick of tricorders? Did you want them to have that shit?
Oh no, no. But let's take it here. When you have one of your franchises actually do that throwback technology, it's still a problem. Why? Because it was a woman center. You know what I'm talking about, right? They actually recreated the technology from the 70s for this movie for authenticity's sake, and people still shat on it. It was never about the technology or the canon. It's about the decentralization of white maleness.
Yeah, of course. Always is. So is the key. That's always like if you're doing a multiple choice test, and they were like, pick the most likely answer, not the pick the best answer. That's always the best answer, right? It's just, Because it doesn't center a white man. Ding, ding, ding. You're correct. You are correct. There you go. Tell them what they won. All right. Next.
Why did I hear that in my head before you said it, though?
Last email we got here from Jeff. It says, what's good, fam? First of all, I am sick to my stomach that I didn't chime in to be on the Trek Pod reviews. Don't get me wrong. The Gifted is amazing. Yeah, man. We'll be back for season 3 of the...
So about that.
Look, Fox don't love us. They canceled The Passage. Fuck them. They canceled Pitch. Fuck them. They won't let Mark Paul Gosselaar be great.
However, this shit right here.
Fox, what do you expect?
Right. However, this shit right here, I had to write in and get in on some commentary somehow. I think it's time to have a couple of honest conversations. All right, let's have some conversations. Let's do this. This is the GOAT Star Trek show. No Trek show has been better the first two seasons than Discovery. What are you talking about, man? I watched Code of Honor, man. Next Generation is amazing. It's great.
Chris, I'm going to take over as presenter and hang up on you. You keep bringing up that show.
Code of Honor. You had a white woman and a black woman fighting in, like, a death cage match with men just sitting around looking over them. You had, like, the Hoteps and the white men. It was great. It's like 20.
I'm not drunk enough for this conversation.
I can't think of a more relevant conversation and relevant episode of TV that basically shows you what 2019 is like than Code of Honor from Next Generation.
I'm sorry. I haven't figured out how to mute his mic. I'm working on it right now.
I happen to have a bottle of bourbon sitting on my desk, and I'm looking at it really hard right now.
Oh, no, 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 Parrish. You can't talk. You tried to tell somebody to jump. I saw you on Twitter telling someone to use that as their entry point to Star Trek.
Use so what?
Code of Honor. Don't play like you were part of the problem.
That was not me. That was not me.
I don't believe you.
It was me.
DM me this week.
Okay, Lady Olenna. So it's still you. Okay.
No, I actually think it was me. I think you guys were talking. I think I jumped in and was like, yo, Code of Honor's great.
That was not me.
Yeah, no. Okay, no.
I apologize, Parrish. Yeah. Chris, I swear for Christ, you really want Shannon to take over, don't you?
The acting in Trek has been inconsistent overall, but Discovery has actors. They invoke every emotion while staying true to the nature of their characters. Their actual interactions flow seamlessly, and everyone does their thing. Yes, now I remember. I gotta have this conversation. You're absolutely right. This is one of the things that I think has always always kind of affected Star Trek. Right? It's you. Let's be honest here. William Shatner can't act for shit.
Nope.
He can't.
It's like a block of wood.
I get it. Like, I gotta find the name of that fucking show that he the
there was spider... one called Boston Public that he did.
Well, I know there's Boston Public.
I heard Boston. That was okay. I couldn't tell you because I
that was okay because of James Spader.
Yeah, okay. I'm ready to say he starred opposite some pretty good actors in that show.
I'm gonna find the name of the show because it wasn't a show. It was a movie. I'm gonna find the name of this movie because it was like World of the Spiders.
Kingdom of the Spiders.
Kingdom of the Spiders. Thank you very much. That's what it was. Kingdom of the Spiders. He is god awful in that fucking film. All right. Like, but this goes with everything. Like, every now and then you get somebody who's really, really good. I mean, you'll get your Patrick Stewarts, right? You'll get your Avery Brooks. But even then, like, look at Avery Brooks, right? They pigeonholed him into what he could do, because honestly, if you let Avery Brooks be Avery Brooks and be the Captain Sisko he needed to be, the rest of the cast couldn't catch up to that. The rest of the cast wasn't there yet. So you had to tell him to basically act down a little bit to kind of catch up to let everybody else catch up. And you can do that with TV shows, right? We've all been there before. Listen, I love Chloe Bennett. She kind of struggled the first season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm not going to lie. But she's gotten into it, right? And that happens a lot of times with TV shows. You can kind of grow into the acting abilities you need to have, because you have, especially when Star Trek came out, they were like, what, 24, 26 episodes of a show? So it's like you had a lot of time, and even in that first season to really get in there. And everybody knows it took like 2 seasons for Star Trek to get good. Discovery came out the gate with actors who could act their asses off. And even people who, you know, had their talents not used to their full potential, like Anson Mount, when they put them in fucking, you know, Inhumans and muted the fuck out of them, right? So it's like, Discovery did so this, and I think this is another thing that makes Discovery so good is they didn't come in with some subpar talent. You know, you didn't get subpar talent with Star Trek Discovery. Shanique was fucking awesome. She was great on Walking Dead. Like they came in at an 8.5. I'm gonna give them room to grow. They came in at an 8.5, where most of the other Star Trek coming in at a 3.
Yeah.
You know, and the myth of Star Trek and the just like, you know, another star stuff, Star Wars, the myth of that world allowed the cult following of both to surpass the writing capabilities, the story being told sometimes, and sometimes the acting ability, right? You know, the charming, you know, Harrison Ford being charming goes a long way to overlooking the fact that Mark Hamill kind of struggled to fuck in those early movies. He's great.
It also overlooked the fact that Harrison Ford hated 90% of his lines.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so it's like that his behavior kind of just made him charming to people, right? And made people latch onto that character. You have people that have this whole thing over Boba Fett, but it's like, yo, that character does absolutely fuck nothing in 3 movies, but he got a cult following. So there's this thing where these shows were successful without the talent, right? Without the talent in the writing, without the talent in the acting, because of what the story they were trying to tell was so intriguing, it brought people in and people got engaged into it. Star Trek Discovery was like, all right, cool. Now we already have you hooked on that. You guys have been Trekkies since the 60s or whenever you were born, and you were like, this is my shit. I'm going to watch this shit. You guys are already hooked. So now we're going to come in and we're going to catch everything up with the effects we can do, and also with the acting and the story we're going to tell on top of that. And that just, honestly, this shouldn't be a conversation. Yes, it is the fucking GOAT of fucking Star Trek. It's not even close. It's not even close. And I don't think that's shitting on the other shows to say that. It's just a reality, you know? Things should improve. Like, you should get better as time goes on. And that's what Star Trek Discovery did. It built on the stuff that was before it, and it made it better.
And right.
It also didn't shit on the other shows. It paid significant homages and reverence to the other shows that have existed.
Yep.
I mean, there's callbacks to Enterprise. Mm-hmm. There's stuff about Voyager, Deep Space Nine. All the shows have had some subtle references or direct references or usage in this show. I mean, it's just, it is the greatest show of Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you hit the perfect point. Like, things are supposed to get better. Like, you should celebrate that this show is head and shoulders above any other Star Trek show because it's supposed to be.
Yo, it's, yeah.
I don't understand. Like, people are trying hard not to be happy nowadays.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
Well, it's like, yep. It's like that thing that when people come out and be like, when you see people celebrating Infinity War and Endgame, be like, yeah, but y'all are like, Marvel's perfect. They didn't make that first Thor movie. I'm like, well, first of all, that first Thor movie isn't even as bad as you say it is. But let's say it is. Let me give you that one and say that Thor movie is bad. When would that movie come out?
I ain't giving them shit.
It came but the point is, give it to them.
Marvel's worst movie. Okay, I didn't mind this movie. I actually liked it. But everyone has issues with Ed Norton's The Incredible Hulk. I liked it.
Because of Ed Norton.
Right. But let's argue that's the worst movie. Marvel's worst movie is still better than your best. So what you gonna do now?
But even Paramount Marvel, not Disney money.
But I just been doing a rewatch, and there is a difference between Paramount Marvel and Disney Marvel.
Right, but my thing, that's not even the point, right? Let's say I give you that. Let's say those movies are god awful. Don't even compare them to anything else. Let's say they're god awful, right? It's fucking 11 years ago.
Yep.
Motherfucker, it should be bad compared to today. Like, yeah, all right. Fool, you're gonna say that first Thor movie wasn't good. It's like, motherfucker, you're probably in diapers. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. What are we doing here? Like, so to me, it's like at this point, I'm starting to try to cut people off of their knees. It's like, all right, cool, I'll give you that. Let's say, you know, that's just, you know, it's you're trying to shit on Next Generation. I grew up, I love Next Generation. I'm like, I love Deep Space Nine. Star Trek Discovery is better. That's not me saying I hate Deep Space Nine. I love that show. But I love it even more now seeing that it laid the groundwork for Discovery going. That's what you're supposed to celebrate as a fan.
Right. And I'm gonna say it. Gates McFadden got me side-eyed. I loved Star Trek Next Generation and I still like it. But now knowing what I know and what she went through and probably what Diana Muldaur went through and Marina Sirtis was probably going through, I'm like, I guess.
And then
the producers of Next Generation were dumpster fires.
Right. And then when you see what this Discovery does with women, female characters, again, every single major plot point in this season involved a female character. Every single point, all the signals involved a female character, a lot of the most emotional pieces involved female characters. Like they had interaction with themselves. Like again, I love when Nan and Giorgio was about to go kill Leland. Like that shit. Like they were about to be giddy. I'm like, yo, are we about to ship them now together? It's like they about to nut on each other just about to kill Leland. It's like, what the fuck?
I mean, that's
the growth, right? We should grow. So yeah, Jeff, you're absolutely right. Yeah, this is the group. They invoke every emotion while staying true to the nature of the characters. The interaction flows seamlessly, and everyone does their thing. The writers managed to enrich the entire Star Trek mythos while creating his own elite area in Star Trek story. I had my own apprehension about the Trek show based on the original series timeline, but they executed an original story with the past as a foundation. I understand Spock vividly now with the added dynamic using Michael's guidance. They elevated Pike to legendary levels. You know, we've heard this story throughout Trek lore, but Discovery gives us the why. And, you know, this is something that Deep Bombs will be bringing when we're talking about movies, right? When we talk about, like, Marvel movies, things like that, too. It's like, sometimes you got to show. Like, that's one of the big problems that, you know, you get, among other things, with some of the Zack Snyder movies, right? Is that Zack has to come out later on after the movie comes out to tell you what he was trying to show you. And you're like, but why didn't you just show me? Why didn't you just show me? So, and I'll say this, Star Trek and Star Wars more than Star Trek, I think, have this problem where there's a lot of tell, but not a lot of show. So, you're right.
You said it once on one of the podcasts that I think it was after Force Awakens. No, I think it was after Rogue One, but you were talking about the fact that all the good shit in Star Wars, the original Star Wars, happened in the crawl screen.
Oh, no, it was before. Because I remember I fucked over, what was it? I forget who my guests were. It was an insanity check. And I was like, yeah, you do realize that the best parts of Star Wars are all in the scroller. And they were like, no. And I started reading the scroller. So they were like, holy shit. And I read the scroller for... A New Hope, which ends up turned into being Rogue One, and people are like, holy shit, Rogue One isn't a fucking amazing movie, because holy shit, all that shit happens. Like, go and read.
That was also the movie that showed how badass Darth Vader was. He was terrifying.
Right.
Yep.
And that's a problem that everything's had. Like, you know, Darth Vader looks really cool and looks really terrifying, but if you think about it, he's never really, until that movie, I never really did anything that, like, oh, that's really badass. Then you go and read the comics, you're like, holy shit, this motherfucker's terrifying.
And then what I keep telling you, Chris, is you need to read Lords of the Sith.
Right. It's like
books.
So when you get this chance to be a live action, you have to see it. So all the time we hear about Pike being legendary, and even the movies didn't really, we saw Pike, we saw the connection he had with Kirk, but we didn't really get that he was legendary. Here, you're like, oh, no, I get it. I get why. Like, we joked about that when Cornwell's response was, we didn't want you involved in the war because if we failed, we needed somebody to rebuild Starfleet. And we're like, man, get the fuck out of here with that corny-ass bullshit. Nobody believes it. And now I'm like, no, she's absolutely fucking right. He is the best of you. He should have stayed out of the war. You don't sully this man. This man is a great fucking man.
Protect him at all costs.
And protect him at all costs until he ends up in...
Right. And that's why she kicked him out of the diffusing the mind. She's like, right. You got to get out of here.
But they had this, they showed us something we didn't even know we needed. Everybody's like, Pike, why are we Pike? We don't give a fuck about Pike. Now you're like, no, I do give a fuck about Pike. Now I get it. Now I understand and I get what it is. Like, this man.
Stay your ass on that bridge, Pike. Where are you going?
Right. They, they made that they made this man not just a great man. They made him part in one season. They made him part of the Discovery family. Like him looking off and saying, "That's my family over there." I'm like, "Good God!" They did a great job with that. So, yeah, you got to show it to us.
That's why I'm sold on a show. Like I'm sold on it. He is their Steve Rogers. He is Star Trek Steve Rogers at this point. Like, and that's why I'm sold on the show. Like, if they can, I don't need it, but give it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He embodies every Federation ideal and inspires like few others. Not now, but soon we can update the Starfleet captain power rankings to include Pike and demote Kirk. We can do that beforehand. We can drop Kirk completely fuck out.
I was going to say, hadn't we already excommunicated Kirk some time ago? Because I think I said this on the podcast, but like I said, this is the same podcast we just did. I love Chris Pine, but even his Kirk is pretty well useless.
No, Kirk is...
Until Beyond, when he got better.
Kirk is a bad captain. Here's the thing, and I think this is where we lost the podcast last time. And I think maybe like the Willem Shatner came in and fucked up GoToMeeting because I was talking about this. But we're kind of making the point. It's like, look, you see how Pike was running the Discovery. You see how Pike was running Enterprise, right? And you're like, that's a respectable. They respectable. Yo, when you think about what Kirk did, Kirk turned the Enterprise into the party bus. It's a goddamn party bus. He crashes that bitch all the time.
Oh, you know what he turned it into? He turned it into Tony Stark's plane from Iron Man 1.
Yeah. Gotta, yo, it's like, make it so. When he says make it so, that's when the stripper pole comes down. You know? Yeah, it's like, you know Kirk was drinking and captaining at times. Like, it's just like, hey, turn the Enterprise into a party bus. It's like, no, get the fuck out of here. Every other captain was an actual captain. Like, Kirk just made a bunch of reckless decisions, and it goes back to I think that's another thing that we said when we were losing is that, you know, Pike makes a sacrifice play. Pike is that Kirk kind of captain. Kirk would never. He
Star Trek 2 is an entire movie about Kirk cheating death. Like that is what the Kobayashi Maru is. It's Kirk cheating death.
And they let him get away with it as if that's an endearing quality, but it's not. It's not an endearing quality of a leader because every leader knows at some point, sometimes you do lose. Sometimes you can't cheat. Sometimes you have to make the tough call where there is no good outcome or good answer. It's like that's the reality of it. There's no cheating that. And
which is why hot take the Chris Pine Star Trek is the greatest Star Trek movie ever made because they call Kirk to the fucking carpet for doing that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to. Because you want to know why? Because it's one of those things that they did it back in the 60s, and I think they thought, or whenever that movie came out, it wasn't the 60s. It was the 70s? I think they had it. I think Star Trek.
The motion picture or Star Trek 2?
The motion picture was the 70s.
Yeah. So
79, I think it was.
Yeah, so Star Trek 2 where he does that. So I think when they did it back then, it didn't. I don't think they envisioned people going, "Yeah, that's an endearing quality." But then people started taking that as an endearing quality, and you have to call that shit out. And be like, no, I'm sorry, guys, no. Kirk was dead wrong. That's not something endearing. And that while it worked for the movie, we don't want you understanding that is a quality. So even in the movies, you start seeing Kirk understanding that way of thinking can't be the way of thinking. Right, he's getting better, and they'll never end that because Chris Pine ain't never going back to those movies, and I know they're going, but it's never going to happen. But like they started making him a more responsible Kirk, but still he's still Kirk, right? There's only so much you can do with that character, but Pike's up there now. Pike's up there. Trek uses time travel as his big joker and sometimes an easy cop-out to tie up storylines, but Discovery uses it as a tertiary plot point that didn't reveal itself until into about halfway into the season. There was enough unpredictability and misdirection and intelligent writing to use time as one component of the overall Discovery story, not the component of it. No other Trek show does this in this way and is this good. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. We've gone to this is what just about the right here right now is I want everybody to really think about this. This has been two seasons of a show. We've gone to the into the past, the future, the mirrorverse, Section 31, a spore drive, teleportation, new races, sentient AI, enhanced OG tech, Trek mythos, and other futuristic George Jetson shit, and it's only two seasons. Holy fucking shit. When you write it out and say it out loud, it is crazy.
They covered a lot of ground.
Two seasons. And the best part, we leave the show at the original start of the original series timeline. They can go anywhere from this point. We just got to bow down at this point. Yeah. Some cliffhangers and open items for me, if y'all didn't discuss it on the show already. Where's the other 45% of the sphere data that Leland took? It protects itself versus deletion, and his fleet was destroyed, so where is it? I'm assuming that they just don't have it. They can't get to it. Even if it protects itself, nobody can read it. So
no, we're not the complete archive. And even then, it seemed like it was protecting itself. So
right, because that was
read. My thing is, it'll get read when it wants to be read. It seems.
Yeah, because that goes back to the whole thing of, you know, why Leland still needed Discovery. He couldn't read the stuff that he had because you need the incomplete file or you get nothing. It's all or nothing. It seems like. If they destroy control completely, why do they need to go to the future? What does it prevent future generations from recreating control? Because the impetus for going to the future was to save Seer data from control, but no control did they. But with no control, did they need to go?
Yeah, because humans are stupid as fuck. We're gonna try again. We know it. Section 31 is the CIA. They were gonna try again in a different way. How else do you think we got data?
So
and who knows if the control's really gone?
True.
And at this point, if you take it into the future, you know, you're not going to do any irreparable harm to the past. You're only going to do irreparable harm to your present, which is their future, which is really stupid. But they'll probably do it anyway, because like the doctor said, humans are dumb.
So one thing to think about it is that they could have gone far enough in the future where you may not be able to completely trust human beings with that information. But hopefully we've progressed enough. Because this is Roddenberry's future. Remember, it's still like fundamentally utopian. So maybe we have evolved to be a little more responsible.
You sweet summer child.
Hey, hey, this is Roddenberry's universe. I'm a cynical bastard. Okay.
So one other thing too is, and I think it's because I watch so many shows and so many things that have time travel in there, from Endgame, The Flash, Legend of Tomorrow. To me, I also see it as this thing. If you don't take that data to the future, it's one of those things of some events are inevitable, and if you delay it. So if they don't take that sphere data there, if it's still there, there's a possibility that the whole thing starts all over again. They just delay it for five years, and then somehow somebody else starts it up again. Well, we stopped control this one time, and now and you're just right back to where you're at. So I think that's one of the reasons why they had to do it. It's like, again, like we were saying, like, why take the chance? Like, you got to go. It's all or nothing. If we don't do this, you make one small change here, it's not enough. It's still, you're still on the same path, right? Does Michelle Yeoh's spinoff take place prior to season two, or does she find a way back? I mean, that's an interesting point. It could technically be that time in between. Actually, no. Yeah. There's not enough time in between, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there's not enough time in between because she's, you know, Discovery.
No.
And quite frankly, I'm over. Like, Star Wars is doing it well, sure, and I'm sure Star Trek could do it well, but can we stop doing the time between stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am annoyed with that,
though. I'm kind of over it at this point.
True. Do they low key spoil tease the end of the series in the short trek with the brother? Treating Discovery like a 31st century Tinder. I definitely think we're working towards that Aldous Hodge point. I think that one episode is the one that we really didn't get a whole lot. That really didn't get a whole lot of tie-in. I mean, you get the tie-in knowing that Discovery's in the future now, but I think that's the one that shows us a glimpse of what season three could be about. So,
well, we hinted at the war. There is some kind of war conflict. Mm-hmm. And the Aldous Hodge's character wouldn't tell the AI his real name.
So I'm going to... So this is the thing. And I'm going to tell myself, because I watch a lot of these shows growing up, all right? So you know what this reminded me of, this third season, and I think this show did it in this either second season or third season too. Sequest.
Oh yeah.
Sequest did the same thing where they end up going to the future for that last season. And this is what this reminded me of. Now, I wholly expect that this will be better than Sequest was. Because I'm pretty sure that show does not hold up if I try to watch it again. But I watched a lot of Sequest growing up. So, but yeah, I'm sorry. I'm telling myself.
I love myself too much to bother.
Yeah, you just don't go back. Don't. Never go back. They put a bunch of those shows on Netflix at one time. Remember when Netflix used to have all the old shows? And you were like so excited. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch all these seasons of Sequest. And you watch one season and you're like.
One word. He-Man.
Ooh, yeah, don't do that.
I rewatched it.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
I love the movie. Shut up. I'm talking about the TV show.
What movie? Excuse me, what movie?
You know what? I don't appreciate you.
Well, look, we did a nostalgia one.
We already did the nostalgia review, and I still maintain that is the best worst movie on the planet. Debate your mama. Fight me if you want to.
That is still
the best
problem.
Balance, too.
That is still my problematic fave.
And y'all talk about me. See, this is why y'all never take over the show. This is why I'm always gonna be in charge. See, you know what? I might start problematic. I might even be problematic in the middle. But at the end of the time, y'all say something that's just like, this is why Chris is in charge. It's fine.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
What a season. Thanks for keeping the streets on fire with these reviews. Can't wait until next season. Yeah. I think that's it. And again, I'm sorry if you sent me an email and it didn't go to the M Trailer Reviews one and I missed it. But yeah, this is such a fucking great season. Such a great season. Such a great show. Do we have any word on when they're coming back? Or are they going to do it again like they did last season, which
it's,
is
2020.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, like last year.
Picard is coming in the fall.
Oh, so they're going to get me.
Just filming right now.
So they're going to get me because there's a black woman who's like directing the first episode. You're going to get me.
Oh, yeah. And the showrunner.
And the showrunner. So you're getting me. So it's like, they got me. They got me in the fall. Okay, cool. I just
need
to know.
Remember when they announced CBS, like Star Trek was coming back and they said, CBS, you got to pay for it. I was like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, Michelle Yeoh and Sonequa Martin. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
That's how they're getting you, man. Yeah. That's how they
So the plan is to rotate the shows.
Go ahead.
The plan is to rotate the shows. Like, it would be Picard, then Star Trek Discovery, and then Section 31, and then like rotate it like that.
Oh, they're trying to
guess. There's a couple other.
That's smart. I mean, that's smart. It's smart. Yeah. It's like you go. Here's the thing. Because we said this when we first started. Like, CBS, what are you going to do? You have no content. You have no idea what you're going to do. This is it. You're going to stick with Star Trek. You hitch your ride on Star Trek. You can do it. Not other networks might try to do something like this, but they don't have Star Trek. You did, and you pulled it off. You pulled it off. You got it. You can say it was a two-season experiment of us going and be like, are you really going to do it? And you did it. So you're going to get the money. I'm going to cancel once Twilight Zone's over. I'm going to cancel for the last couple months, but I'll be back. Once you get a release date on Picard, I'll be back. I got you. You're good. You're good. So, there we guys have it. So good we did it twice. Do you guys have anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Actually, three times if you want to be honest.
Yeah, three times. Really, really.
Yeah, I lost count.
Yeah. At least this time, I'm saying it now, we're almost done. A GoToMeeting did not crap out on us, so we're good. So, anything you guys want to say before we get out of here?
It was good podcasting with you guys. I always enjoy this, so. And now I have a new Trekkie in my household because of Discovery. Someone who looked at the old episodes like, I don't think so, Mom. Peace. Kind of like he did Masters of the Universe, but he saw that last one. He's like, oh, we need to watch this from the beginning. So CPS. See what Discovery's doing? It's bringing the younger generations in.
Call CPS.
That's not supposed to work. That is exactly how it's supposed to work.
Call CPS.
Yep.
Making a child watch Master of the Universe is just an unusual punishment.
Actually, you know what's funny? I sat down, I turned it on. He saw the painted intro of Castle Grayskull. He got up and walked out. He didn't make it 30 seconds. He was so offended.
Smart kid. It, as always, it's been a joy talking about Star Trek with you all. We'll probably get some more stuff in because there's gonna be a lot of news coming in. And I know we did have some news articles, so I might try to schedule something in a couple at end of the month or something like that, where we can come back together and talk about some of the Star Trek news coming out, because I know there's gonna be a lot coming soon, and we'll do that. So thank you all for listening to us, and live long and prosper and all that other good shit. So till next time, we are out of here. Peace.